Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and gel pens in every color. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm excited to share a little bit about a passage that has always been fascinating to me. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14 today. Before we jump into that passage, though, I just wanted to start out by talking a little bit about our culture today, a little bit about how we operate in our culture. I read a book several years ago called Spiritual Simplicity by Chip Ingram, and in it he says that our culture operates on this model of bigger, better, faster, more. And I think you might identify with that a little bit. Just think about maybe if you have a job where you are expected to produce, you know, it's never enough to, you know, continue to be a steadfast, consistent producer. You have to do more than you did last time and constantly meet a new goal and push and stretch yourself. And this is good in a way because it helps us to see what we're capable of. It gives us the ability to learn and to grow. And those things are good. But there comes a point when we kind of tap out and bigger, better, faster, more is a little bit more of a stretch for us or maybe even unattainable. It's also kind of good when we're talking about like technology. You know, we want our technology to consistently work better so that it takes less of our time. Although I don't think that ever happens. I think we just put our time into a different aspect of the technology. It doesn't matter how much faster it gets. We're still spending an awful lot of time on our gadgets. But wanting them to be a little bit better than they were before is good. But I think the problem comes with bigger, better, faster, more is that we apply that unilaterally to life and we expect that of every area of our lives. And that's quite unrealistic. In fact, I believe that our souls were not meant to operate that way. The soul that we have in us is not designed to constantly be striving for the bigger, better, faster, and more. And certainly, you know, God's kingdom does not work that way either. We're going to kind of take a look at a passage today where something small and unremarkable was used in a mighty way. And I think that there are some great dangers in our lives when we began to expect our souls to line up with this model of bigger, better, faster, and more. There's some things that happen, and I think these dangers are involved. I think we'll see them in our lives. As we look at them today, I think you'll recognize them and realize that you're trying to operate spiritually on a platform or a model that you weren't created to do. And so let's jump into Matthew chapter 14. In this passage, we're starting in verse 13. We're going to refer to the earlier verses a little bit later, but for now, we're just going to start reading in verse 13, which reads, "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'That isn't necessary. You feed them.' 'But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish,' they answered. 'Bring them here,' he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children." In this passage, we see Jesus doing something great and mighty with such a small offering. And as I was thinking about this in relationship to the siren call of our culture, bigger, better, faster, more, I was thinking of a few things that kind of stood out to me about some dangers of trying to keep up with that model in our own souls and in our own lives. The first thing that came to mind is that if we try and do this, what happens is we tend to hold on to what we have and we don't offer it up for Christ to use. Now, this particular story is in several of the Gospels, and in some of them, they actually mention that the lunch came from a boy who happened to have a lunch in the crowd. Do you really think, this passage says there are 5,000 men plus women and children. Do you think if there were women there that there was only one person with a lunch? I'm pretty sure there were a lot of women. You know how we women like to plan things. There were probably a lot of women who brought lunches for their family. That young boy could not have been the only person in a well over 5,000 people who managed to get a lunch together that day. I think there were a lot of people with lunches there. Maybe they had eaten them earlier in the day. The Bible says that this is late, so they've been there all day. Maybe their food is gone. But I bet you there were some people who held on to theirs. They knew the meal could not, without something miraculous happening, could not feed this many people. And they needed to hold on to what they had. They had a scarcity mindset that this was what they would need to hold on to. I would imagine there were people there that had that mindset that were just kind of saying, look, I need this. I don't know how much longer we're going to be here and you know, what's available in the town to buy. And I'm just going to kind of hold on to what I have here. It's very easy when we operate on this model of bigger, better, faster, more to hold on to what we have for one of two reasons. One, because we think it couldn't possibly help because it's so small. And secondly, because if we have to consistently produce and move forward and do bigger and better, then all of our resources become so critically important that we can't give any away. We need to hold on to them because we're going to be required to utilize them to be able to keep up with the pace of life. And so for either of these reasons, this is a big danger. We don't offer what we have when we operate under this mindset. It means that we're less likely to offer our abilities and our talents and our gifts to God because we think the problem is so great and our solutions are what we have to offer is so small. Our abilities could not possibly meet the demand that's out there. And that's something that we see a lot. I mean, the problems in our world today are huge. Many of the things that we worry about, that we find stressful, the things that we struggle with in our lives, many of those things are so daunting to us that the little bit that we offer doesn't feel like enough. But we forget that because God's economy, you know, isn't asking for us to do bigger, better, faster, more, He's asking us to offer what we have. Then we can trust the fact that He will take the little bit that we have and He will use it and He will multiply it with His power and His strength and bring about the results that He's asked, that He wants to bring forth. All He asks of us is that we do our part by offering whatever little bit that we bring, that we have in ourselves to bring. But also we trust that God will take what we have when we offer it and that it will be enough for us. Not just that it will be enough to solve the problems of this world, but that if we have that scarcity mindset of this is all I have and I need to be able to produce to be valuable in the world today, we trust that when we put the little bit we have in God's hands, He will continue to supply what we need to be able to live our lives in a way that pleases Him and that brings glory to Him. When we focus on bigger, better, faster, more, we just tend to hold on to what we have and we don't offer it up for Christ to use in whatever way that he chooses. But another thing that happens, another danger that happens when we live under this model and we apply it unilaterally into our souls and our spiritual lives is that we don't recognize when we're depleted. Because we're constantly racing for the next thing, we don't really recognize that there's less of us to keep running with. We deplete ourselves and we don't always recognize it. This passage starts out with Jesus hearing some news and then He gets in a boat and He wants to go somewhere where no one is so that He can be alone. The news that Jesus heard, the first 12 verses of Matthew 14, tell us about the death of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was imprisoned and eventually in this passage beheaded. Herodias's daughter performed a dance at a birthday party for Herod. And he vowed to give her anything she wanted. And her mother asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king, although he regretted it because of the vow, he beheaded him in prison. And the verse 12 says that John's disciples came for his body and they buried it. And then they went and told Jesus what had happened. And verse 13 says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Jesus was very in tune with his emotions and what he needed, desire and need in his soul to retreat at that time of sorrow, to pull away and to be alone. I think Jesus was in tune with his needs in a way that we often aren't. And that's because we're always moving forward. We're always looking for the next thing. We're always trying to do better, do faster, keep up, keep moving. If you slow down or you stop, you get left behind. And as a result, we just don't recognize those times in our lives when we need that, when we need to back off or pull away, when we need quiet, when we need solitude, when we need stillness. We become really depleted and we don't recognize it because we're constantly moving forward. I see this in my life so many times. It's gotten to the point now where I just kind of laugh at myself when I catch myself doing it, but I have some big project that just takes forever. And then, I'm finished after, maybe weeks or months of preparing and planning and working and the event is over and I get in my car and immediately in my car on the drive home, I'm starting the early stages of planning what's next. Instead of basking in the reward of a job well done, instead of taking a break and allowing the rest of my mind and my body to kind of acclimate to this being over, to being able to celebrate. I miss all that. I miss that downtime because I'm always moving forward. I'm always thinking of the next thing. What's interesting here is what happened to Jesus is what happens to us. Even when we recognize it, sometimes we don't have the opportunity to get it. The crowds, they saw where he was going and they followed him. And the Bible says that Jesus had some compassion on them and he healed their sick and he took care of them throughout the day. Oftentimes, just because we're depleted doesn't mean we can stop. Sometimes we have to arrange that. Sometimes it takes a little logistics to be able to slow down and replenish ourselves. Sometimes, we our compassionate nature will keep us from doing the thing that we should. We realize that Jesus did get some time here. He did leave on this boat. We don't know how long he was on the boat, but when he was out of the boat, when he stepped out, he was right back to meeting needs and serving others. And that's a good thing to remember is that, we pause, we rest, we reflect, we stop. We sit in the stillness, we listen to the voice of God, and always he directs us back toward what he's called us to do after those moments. And we need to realize that we don't pull away and replenish ourselves so that we can be happy again. We pull away and replenish ourselves so that we have the fuel to be able to serve and to be able to speak to others with compassion and be able to help them in ways that God has called us to be able to be present and active in the lives of those we're called to love. And so the danger here with trying to keep up with bigger, better, faster, more is that it's very easy to ignore that we're depleted or not even recognize it at all. A third thing that I see about our culture's model is that we don't solve our problems because we're looking for big answers instead of starting where we are. The disciples saw that it was late and they saw that the people the people probably were ready to eat. It was getting late. They needed to go off and take care of their needs. And Jesus said, well, that's not necessarily necessary. You can take care of them. And they're looking for a big solution because they have a big problem. They have 5,000 people at least, plus women and children, and they don't have many resources. And so their immediate answer, they're looking for, let's just, you know, put this problem on someone else, let them all go take care of their needs. And Jesus said, no, that was their responsibility to do. They're looking for a big solution because all they have are just little solutions. That little bit of a meal is not really in their minds. It's not a solution. The point is that Jesus takes that meal and he blesses that meal and he multiplies that meal. And I think sometimes we are looking for a big answer to the problem that we have, because as I said earlier, our problems are big problems. You know, let's say that you're struggling with an addiction, or you're hopelessly in debt, or let's say that you just you have a relationship that's so deep in disrepair, you don't know how you'll ever move forward and fix it. Look at the bigger problems that face our world today. We have terrorism and we have hunger. We have disease. We have countries that are falling apart. We have human trafficking. All of these big issues that we face, whether they're big in our own lives or big in our world around us, seem like we need such big solutions to fix. But actually, many of the solutions to fix these problems are really quite small. It's just that multiplied over time with many people, they become much more powerful. A year or two ago, the church that I attend started raising money for water filtration buckets that can be given to families in countries that don't have safe water. And these filtration buckets are amazing. They filter a massive amount of water. They last an incredibly long time. They can basically take care of a family for their lifetime and give them clean water. But what's interesting is that that simple product, and I think they are, forget how many, I think it's maybe 50 or 75 bucks for a bucket. And that comes with a bucket that filters and a bucket for the clean water, as well as training on how to use that bucket. But those buckets solve huge problems. They found that kids that don't have access to clean water are sick so often that they don't get an education. They don't get to go to school. And so their very future is halted and held back because of this problem. Whereas with a relatively inexpensive bucket of clean water that they would have access to over their lifetime, they're able to go to school. And then they're able to get an education. And then they're able to get a job. And then they're able to help not just themselves, but their families. And their brothers and their sisters, and on and on and on this can go. So we see that a very small thing has enormous consequences and ramifications. And that's often the case in our own lives, in little problems that we face too. You know, let's take the person who's really struggling in debt, and they're thinking, I need this much money to pay off this bill, these bills, and this much money is impossible. I just could never, you know, get that much money together. But what can you put towards it? Because over time, those little bits over time add up to something substantial. So put what you have today toward it. Don't look for the $20,000 to pay everything off, but put the $100 that you have today on it, and you owe $100 less. Oftentimes, our solutions have to be simple because we don't have unlimited resources, and we don't have the ability to garner more resources. Many times, we have what we have, and that's all we're going to have. And so we have to use them wisely. And in looking for big solutions to problems, it polarizes us because we don't take action in the ways that we can right now. And I see this with the disciples. You know, they're looking for a huge solution, and the small solution in front of them doesn't seem like enough. But in God's hands, it is enough. In fact, this kind of sums up my thinking on this passage and looking at this model of life that we have been thrown into in this century, is that in God's kingdom, small is the new big. And I think we see that throughout Scripture. We see it when Jesus says that there's just all you need is the faith up the size of a small seed of mustard. Those little tiny round mustard seeds, if you have that much faith, you can do mighty things. You don't have to have a big thing. Jesus recognized small sacrifices. The woman who wiped his feet with her tears, he recognized that she did what she could. She had a very limited ability to offer, but she gave what she had. The woman in with the issue of blood who reached out and just all she wanted was to touch his garment. And God honored that, and Jesus was able to heal her of her disease. We see over and over and over again that Jesus just takes small little things and he multiplies them and makes them big. Small is the new big for God. And I think when we operate under bigger, better, faster, more, we miss the miracles that God does in our lives and we miss seeing his power. Because we want to bring the power, we want to bring the bigger, we want to bring those parts out and we want to be the hero and save the day. But we can never do that the same way that God can. And in his economy, he brings out bigger when we're willing to give smaller. And when we are willing to focus on what we have in this moment, the resources we're given, if we're willing to look at the solutions that we have, if we're willing to pull back, pull away when things get to be too much, when we're willing to rest and recharge, when we're willing to then humbly take whatever little bit we have and serve others with what he's given, he does something remarkable. He brings the bigger and the better. That's not our job. Our job is to bring what we have. I hope this encourages you today. I would encourage you to read a little bit about this. I have a few resources mentioned, I'm going to mention here, but they're also listed in the show notes for this week. The book I mentioned earlier, Spiritual Simplicity by Chip Ingram, Simply Tuesday by Emily Freeman, which is a really good book on really learning to appreciate the smallness of the moment and what we have right now. It's an excellent book. We're actually reading that as part of our women's ministry book club right now. And John Ortberg's book, Soul Keeping, on a lot about the pace that our souls can sustain. And that was a really good read as well. I think that you would enjoy all of his books. I encourage you, if this is something that's speaking to you, to take a look at those, and hopefully they will encourage you. Don't be ashamed by small offerings, because God, he excels in small offerings. That's where his glory and his majesty and his power show up. And so I encourage you to get out there today and think small and be able to bring what you have to the table and see what God will do. God bless you today. We'll see you back next week.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can visit my website, BibleGirlPodcast.com, to download show notes and the monthly scripture writing lists. You can also subscribe to my newsletter and find links to my social media. You can find me on Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, and Goodreads as Jessie L. Robinson. Come back soon for another episode of Bible Girl.